Chapter 1. The Four Paramita Dhammas. There are two kinds of reality, mental phenomena, or nama, and physical phenomena, or rupa. Nama experiences something. Rupa does not experience anything. What we take for self are only nama and rupa, which arise and fall away. The Visuddhimagga, Path of Purification, Chapter 18, Paragraph 5, explains, and I quote, "For this has been said, as with the assembly of parts, the word chariot is countenanced. So when the khandhas are present, a being is said in common usage." In parentheses, Kindred Sayings, Chapter 1, Paragraph 135. So in many hundred suttas, there is only mentality, materiality, which is illustrated, not a being, not a person. Therefore, just as when the component parts of a chariot, such as axles, wheels, frame, poles, are arranged in a certain way, there comes to be the mere conventional term chariot. Yet, in the ultimate sense, when each part is examined, there is no chariot. So too, when there are the five khandhas of clinging, there comes to be the mere conventional term a being, a person. Yet, in the ultimate sense, when each component is examined, there is no being as a basis for the assumption I am or I. In the ultimate sense, there is only mentality, materiality. The vision of one who sees in this way is called correct vision. End of quote. All phenomena in and around ourselves are only nama and rupa, which arise and fall away. They are impermanent. Nama and rupa are absolute realities. In Pali, Paramita Dhammas. We can experience their characteristics when they appear, no matter how we name them. We do not necessarily have to call them nama and rupa. Those who have developed insight can experience them as they really are, impermanent and not self. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, experiencing tangible objects through the body sense, and thinking, all these namas are impermanent. We are used to thinking that there is a self who performs different functions, such as seeing, hearing, or thinking. But where is the self? Is it one of those namas? The more we know different namas and rupas by experiencing their characteristics, the more will we see that self is only a concept. It is not a Paramita Dhamma, that is, absolute or ultimate reality. Namas are mental phenomena. Rupas are physical phenomena. Nama and rupa are different types of realities. If we do not distinguish them from each other and learn the characteristic of each, we will continue to take them for self. For example, hearing is nama. It has no form or shape. It has no ears. Hearing is different from ear sense, but it has ear sense as a necessary condition. The nama which hears experiences sound. Ear sense and sound are rupas. They do not experience anything. They are entirely different from the nama which hears. If we do not learn that hearing, ear sense, and sound are realities, which are altogether different from each other, we will continue to think that it is self who hears. The Visuddhimagga, Chapter 18, Paragraph 34, explains, and I quote, "Furthermore, nama has no efficient power. It cannot occur by its own efficient power. It does not eat. It does not drink. It does not speak. It does not adopt postures. And rupa is without efficient power. It cannot occur by its own efficient power. For it has no desire to eat. It has no desire to drink. It has no desire to speak. It has no desire to adopt postures. But rather it is when supported by rupa that nama occurs, and it is when supported by nama that rupa occurs. When nama has the desire to eat, the desire to drink, the desire to speak, the desire to adopt a posture, it is rupa that eats, drinks, speaks, and adopts a posture. End of quote. Furthermore, chapter 18, paragraph 36, we read, and I quote, "And just as men depend upon a boat for traversing the sea, so does the mental body need the matter body for occurrence. And as the boat depends upon the men for traversing the sea, so does the matter body need the mental body for occurrence. Depending each upon the other, the boat and men go on the sea, and so do mind and matter both depend the one upon the other." End of quote. There are two kinds of conditioned nama, citta, consciousness, and jetasika, mental factors arising together with consciousness. They are namas which arise because of conditions and fall away again. As regards citta knows or experiences an object. Each citta has its object. In Pali, aramana. Knowing or experiencing an object does not necessarily mean thinking about it. The citta which sees has what is visible as object. It is different from the cittas which arise afterwards, such as the cittas which know what it is that was perceived and which think about it. The citta which hears, that is, hearing consciousness, has sound as its object. Even when we are sound asleep and not dreaming, citta experiences an object. There isn't any citta without an object. There are many different types of citta which can be classified in different ways. Some cittas are kusala, that is, wholesome. Some are akusala, that is, unwholesome. Kusala cittas and akusala cittas are cittas which are cause. They can motivate wholesome or unwholesome deeds through body, speech, or mind, which are able to bring about their appropriate results. Some cittas are the result of wholesome or unwholesome deeds. They are vipaka cittas. Some cittas are neither cause nor result. They are kriya cittas, sometimes translated as inoperative. Cittas can be classified by way of jati. Jati literally means birth or nature. There are four jatis: kusala, akusala, vipaka, and kriya. Both kusala vipaka, that is, the result of a wholesome deed, and akusala vipaka, that is, the result of an unwholesome deed, are one jati, the jati of vipaka. It is important to know which jati a citta is. We cannot develop wholesomeness in our life if we take akusala for kusala, or if we take akusala for vipaka. For instance, when we hear unpleasant words, the moment of experiencing the sound, hearing consciousness, is akusala vipaka, the result of an unwholesome deed we performed ourselves. But the aversion, which may arise very shortly afterwards, is not vipaka, but it arises with akusala citta. We can learn to distinguish these moments from each other by realizing their different characteristics. Another way of classifying citta is by plane of consciousness, in Pali, bhumi. There are different planes of consciousness. The sensuous plane of consciousness, that is, tamavachara cittas, is the plane of sense impressions, which are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and the experiencing of tangible objects through the body sense. On account of pleasant and unpleasant objects experienced through the sense kusala cittas, that is wholesome cittas, and akusala cittas, that is unwholesome cittas, arise. There are other planes of citta which do not experience sense impressions. Those who cultivate samatha, that is tranquil meditation, and attain absorption, that is jhana, have jhana cittas. The jhana citta is another plane of citta. It does not experience sense impressions. The lokottara citta, that is supra-mundane consciousness, is the highest plane of consciousness because it is the citta which directly experiences nibbana. There are still other ways of classifying citta, and if we consider the different intensities of citta, there are many more distinctions to be made. For instance, akusala cittas, which are rooted in attachment, aversion, dosa, and ignorance, moha, can be of many different intensities. Sometimes they may motivate deeds, sometimes they may not, depending on the degree of akusala. Kusala cittas, too, are of many different intensities. It is useful to know different ways of classification, because in this way we learn about different aspects of citta. There are altogether 89, or in another classification, 121 types of citta. If we develop our knowledge of cittas, and if we are aware of them when they appear, we will be less inclined to take them for self. As a footnote, cittas are classified as 121 when one takes into account the lokottara cittas of those who have cultivated both samatha and vipassana and attain enlightenment with lokottara jhana cittas, lokottara cittas accompanied by jhana factors of different stages of jhana absorption. This will be explained later in chapter 23. End of footnote. Jetasika is the second Paramata Dhamma, which is Nama. As we have seen, citta experiences an object. Seeing has what is visible as its object. Hearing has sound as its object. The citta which thinks experiences the object it is thinking of. However, there is not only citta, but there are also mental factors, jetasikas, which accompany citta. One can think of something with aversion, with pleasant feeling, or with wisdom. Aversion, feeling, and wisdom are mental phenomena which are not citta. They are jetasikas which accompany different cittas. There is only one citta at a time, but there are several jetasikas arising together with the citta and falling away together with the citta. Citta never arises alone. For example, feeling, in Pali, vandana, is a jetasika which arises with every citta. Citta only knows or experiences its object. It does not feeling. Feeling, vandana, however, has the function of feeling. Feeling is sometimes pleasant, sometimes unpleasant. When we do not have a pleasant or an unpleasant feeling, there is still feeling. At that moment, the feeling is neutral or indifferent. There is always feeling. There isn't any moment of citta without feeling. When, for example, seeing consciousness arises, feeling arises together with the citta. The citta which sees perceives only visible object. There is not yet like or dislike. The feeling which accompanies this type of citta is indifferent feeling. After seeing consciousness has fallen away, other cittas arise, and there may be cittas which dislike the object. The feeling which accompanies this type of citta is unpleasant feeling. The function of citta is to cognize an object. Citta is the chief in knowing. Jetasikas share the same object with the citta, but they each have their own specific quality and functions. Some Jetasikas arise with every Chitta, whereas others do not. There are seven types of Jetasika which have to arise with every Chitta. As we have seen, feeling, Vandana, is a Jetasika which arises with every Chitta. Contact, in Pali Passa, is another Jetasika which arises with every Chitta. It contacts the object so that Chitta can experience it. Perception, or remembrance, in Pali Sanya, is also a Jetasika which arises with every Chitta. In the Visuddhimagga, chapter 14, paragraph 130, we read that Sanya has the function of perceiving, and I quote, "Its function is to make a sign as a condition for perceiving again that this is the same, as carpenters, etc., do in the case of timber." End of quote. Chitta only experiences or cognizes an object. It does not mark the object. Sanya marks the object so that it can be recognized later. Whenever we remember something, it is Sanya, not self, which remembers. It is Sanya which, for example, remembers that this color is red, that this is a house, or that this is the sound of a bird. There are also types of Jetasika which do not arise with every Chitta. Akusala, unwholesome Jetasikas, arise only with Akusala Chittas. Sobhana, beautiful Jetasikas arise with Sobhana Chittas. Lopa, attachment. Dosa, aversion, and Moha, ignorance, are Akusala Jetasikas which arise only with Akusala Chittas. For example, when we see something beautiful, Chittas with attachment to what we have seen may arise. The Jetasika which is Lopa arises with the Chitta at that moment. Lopa has the function of attachment or clinging. There are several other Akusala Jetasikas which arise with Akusala Chittas, such as conceit, mana, wrong view, ditti, and envy, isa. Sobhana Jetasikas accompanying wholesome Chittas are, for example, elopa, generosity, edosa, loving-kindness, emoha, or panya, wisdom. When we are generous, elopa and edosa arise with the Kusala Chitta. Panya, wisdom, may arise too with the Kusala Chitta, and moreover, there are other kinds of Sobhana Jetasikas arising with the Kusala Chitta as well. Defilements and wholesome qualities are Jetasikas. They are non-self. Altogether, there are 52 different Jetasikas. Although Chitta and Jetasika are both Nama, they each have different characteristics. One may wonder how Jetasikas can be experienced. When we notice a change in Chitta, a characteristic of Jetasika can be experienced. For instance, when Akusala Chittas with stinginess arise after Kusala Chittas with generosity have fallen away, we can notice a change. Stinginess and generosity are Jetasikas which can be experienced. They have different characteristics. We may notice as well the change from attachment to aversion, from pleasant feeling to unpleasant feeling. Feeling is a Jetasika we can experience because feeling is sometimes predominant and there are different kinds of feeling. We can experience that unpleasant feeling is different from pleasant feeling and from indifferent feeling. These different Jetasikas arise with different Chittas and they fall away immediately together with the Chitta they accompany. If we know more about the variety of Chitta and Jetasika, it will help us to see the truth. Since Chitta and Jetasika arise together, it is difficult to experience the difference in their characteristics. The Buddha was able to directly experience the different characteristics of all Chittas and Jetasikas because his wisdom was of the highest degree. We read in the Questions of King Milinda, Book 3, The Removal of Difficulties, Chapter 7, Paragraph 87. That the Arahat Nagasena said to King Milinda, and here I quote, "A hard thing there is, O King, which the Blessed One has done. And what is that? The fixing of all those mental conditions which depend on one organ of sense, telling us that such is contact, such is feeling, such is sanya, perception, such is volition, and such is citta. Give me an illustration. Suppose, O King, a man were to wade down into the sea, and taking some water in the palm of his hand, were to taste it with his tongue. Would he distinguish whether it was water from the Ganges, or from the Yamuna, or from the Achivaravati, or from the Sarabu, or from the Mahi? Impossible, sir. More difficult than that, great king, is it to have distinguished between the mental conditions which follow on the exercise of any one of the organs of sense." End of quote. And this quote was taken from the translation by T. W. Rhys-Davies, Part 1, published by Dover Publications, New York. Citta and Jetasika are Paramata Dhammas, absolute realities, which each have their own unchangeable characteristic. These characteristics can be experienced regardless how one names them. Paramata Dhammas are not words or concepts, they are realities. Pleasant feeling and unpleasant feeling are real. Their characteristics can be experienced without having to call them pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling. Aversion is real. It can be experienced when it presents itself. They are not only mental phenomena, there are also physical phenomena. Physical phenomena, or rupa, are the third Paramata Dhammas. There are several kinds of rupas, which each have their own characteristic. There are 28 classes of rupa in all. There are four principal rupas, which are called the great elements. In Pali, Maha Bhuta Rupa. They are element of earth or solidity, to be experienced as hardness or softness. Element of water or cohesion. Element of fire or temperature, to be experienced as heat or cold. Element of wind or motion, to be experienced as oscillation or pressure. These great elements are the principal rupas, which arise together with all the other kinds of rupas, which are the derived rupas, in Pali, upada rupa. Rupas never arise alone. They arise in groups or units. There have to be at least eight kinds of rupa arising together. For example, whenever the rupa which is temperature arises, solidity, cohesion, motion, and other arupas have to arise as well. Derived rupas are, for example, the physical sense organs of eye sense, ear sense, smelling sense, tasting sense, and body sense, and the sense objects of visible object, sound, odor, and flavor. Different characteristics of rupa can be experienced through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body sense, and mind. These characteristics are real, since they can be experienced. We use conventional terms such as body and table. Both have the characteristic of hardness, which can be experienced through touch. In this way, we can prove that the characteristic of hardness is the same, no matter whether it is in the body or in the table. Hardness is a Paramata Dhamma. Body and table are not Paramata Dhammas, but only concepts. We take it for granted that the body stays, and we take it for self. But what we call body are only different rupas arising and falling away. The conventional term body may delude us about reality. We will know the truth if we learn to experience different characteristics of rupa when they appear. Chitta, Jetasika, and rupa only arise when they are the right conditions. They are conditioned dhammas. In Pali, sankhara dhammas. As a footnote, the Pali term sankhata is also used. Sankhata means what has been put together, composed, produced by a combination of conditioning factors. When the conditioning factors fall away, the reality which has arisen because of these conditions also has to fall away. End of footnote. Seeing cannot arise when there is no eye sense and when there is no visible object. These are necessary conditions for its arising. Sound can only arise when there are the right conditions for its arising. When it has arisen, it falls away again. Everything which arises because of conditions has to fall away again when the conditions have ceased. One may think the sound stays, but what we take for a long, lasting moment of sound are actually many different rupas succeeding one another. The fourth Paramata Dhamma is Nibbana. Nibbana is a Paramata Dhamma because it is real. Nibbana can be experienced through the mind door if one follows the right path leading towards it. The development of the wisdom which sees things as they are. Nibbana is Nama. However, it is not Citta or Jetasika, Paramata Dhammas, which arise because of conditions and fall away. Nibbana is the Nama, which is an unconditioned reality. As a footnote, in Pali, asankhata, not conditioned, the opposite of sankhata. In the Dhammasangani, Nibbana is referred to as asankhata dhatu, the unconditioned element. Sometimes the term visankhara dhamma, the dhamma which is not sankhara, is used. End of footnote. Therefore, it does not arise and it does not fall away. Citta and Jetasika are namas which experience an object. Nibbana is the nama which does not experience an object, but Nibbana itself can be the object of Citta and Jetasika which experienced it. Nibbana is not a person, it is non-self, anatta. Summarizing the four Paramata Dhammas, they are Citta, Jetasika, Rupa, conditioned Dhammas, that is, Sankhara Dhammas or Sankhata Dhammas, and Nibbana, unconditioned Dhamma, that is, Asankhata Dhamma. When we study Dhamma, it is essential to know which Paramata Dhamma such or such reality is. If we do not know this, we may be misled by conventional terms. We should, for example, know that what we call body are actually different Rupa Paramata Dhammas, not Citta or Jetasika. We should know that Nibbana is not Citta or Jetasika, but the fourth Paramata Dhamma. Nibbana is the end of all conditioned realities which arise and fall away. For the Arahat, the perfected one, who passes away, there is no more rebirth, no more namas and rupas which arise and fall away. All conditioned dhammas, citta, jetasika, and rupa, are impermanent, anicca. All conditioned dhammas are dukkha. They are suffering or unsatisfactory since they are impermanent. All dhammas are non-self, anatta. In Pali, Sabbe, Dhamma, Anatta, from the Dhammapada, verse 279. Thus the conditioned dhammas, not Nibbana, are impermanent and dukkha. But all dhammas, that is, the four Paramata dhammas, Nibbana included, have the characteristic of anatta, not self. Questions for Chapter 1. 1. What is the difference between nama and rupa? 2. What is the difference between citta and jetasika? 3. Do jetasikas experience an object? 4. Is there more than one jetasika arising together with the citta? 5. Can nibbana experience an object? 6. Is nibbana a self? End of chapter 1.